Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. In Malachi chapter 3, we have the judgment of God in verse 5, rather, and the mercy of God in verse 6. That is a wonderful combination. We dare not neglect, ignore, deny, reject what the Bible teaches about the judgment of God, though many people endeavor to do that. But that is, well, it's self-defeating, because God has revealed himself as a God of judgment, and God tells us what it is that he will judge. And we need to understand these things. We need to understand the revelation that has been given to us by the God who created us and before whom we shall stand someday in judgment. God is a God of judgment, and that we need to understand thoroughly and well. But, thank goodness, that's not the end of the information that he's given us. He also tells us that he is a God of mercy. And that's the part, of course, that we love to hear, and the part that the only part that some people will consider. Thank God it is true. He is a God of mercy, and we need to understand that. We need to believe that. We need to avail ourselves of that, because when we understand our danger before the judgment of God, then we can appreciate our need for the mercy of God, and we can apply for that. And so we'll continue studying the book of Malachi as we are making our way verse by verse through chapter 3 on this Friday, January 10. Thank you for joining us, and remember that we only can do this as we are helped by the gifts of our radio listeners. Malachi 3:5, God of judgment, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, God is a God of mercy. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. God of judgment, God of mercy. And you recall that in this verse, in verse 5, God lists a number of sins that he will judge in particular. He judges sin in general, but he judges sins in particular, and so he will come in judgment against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, exploiters, and oppressors. And he did that in the day of Malachi. And we need to be aware that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, and therefore he has not changed his mind about the sinfulness of these activities and the fact that they deserve his judgment. But he is also a God of mercy. And what do we know about God's mercy? And again, I read verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. What can we learn here about the mercy of God? We learn, number one, that God's mercy is undeserved. How do we see that? Well, God had just made it very clear that Israel deserves judgment. but instead they are going to receive mercy. Isn't that amazing? But that's what this text tells us. You couple verse 5 with verse 6, then what other conclusion can you draw? I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, and so forth. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, though you deserve to be. Your sins deserve it. My holiness deserves it. My holiness demands it. My judgment can come against you justly because of your sins, and my justice does come against many justly because of their sins, but I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. The mercy of God is always undeserved. That's a truth that probably all of us would readily agree with, I would hope so, but it is also a truth that is more easily agreed to than absorbed and understood and appreciated. Because we tend to have this idea sneaking around in the corner of our soul that somehow we deserve the mercy of God. And as long as we think that way, we not only are wrong, we don't deserve it, but we are not objects of it as long as we think that it is something we deserve. It's similar to Jesus saying, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What he's saying is, you can't receive my mercy until you acknowledge that you are a sinner. I didn't come to extend mercy to the righteous. And of course, there are no righteous, but there were some who thought they were. There were many self-righteous people in Jesus' day, even as there are many self-righteous people in our day. And Jesus said, no mercy for you. I didn't come to benefit you with my life of righteousness to be given to those who need it, and my death upon the cross to pay the penalty for those whose sins deserve it but need a payment made on their behalf. I didn't come to do that on behalf of those who consider themselves righteous, in other words, who consider themselves deserving of it because they are righteous. Oh, no. But I came to call sinners to repentance, those who acknowledge their sinfulness, those who recognize how sinful they are and how undeserving of mercy they are. Those are the ones that I come to bring my mercy to. And that's the same thing here. Here's what you deserve, O sons of Jacob. You deserve my judgment because of these sins, but instead I'm going to extend mercy. It's undeserved, but I'm extending it to you. So the mercy of God is, number one, undeserved. The mercy of God, number two, is based upon God's character. He says, for I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. His character does not change, his purposes do not change. He has purposed to extend mercy to the sons of Jacob, to the children of Israel, to the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. That is God's purpose. That has been his long-standing purpose. And his character does not change, and therefore his purposes do not change. The mercy of God is undeserved, but the mercy of God is based upon his character. And see, we need to understand this. Yes, God's a God of judgment, but he's also a God of mercy. He's a God of love. His very nature, his very character is love. Now that does not wipe out his holiness, his justice, his just judgment, but it does counterbalance it with something that is wonderful when we understand that it is undeserved and therefore apply for it as humble, repentant sinners. What else about the mercy of God? It is based upon God's promises. He will fulfill his promises to all to whom they apply. Yes, This is what you deserve, judgment, but I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Why? Because I made promises to you. I made promises to you, and I don't go back on my promises. I made promises to Abraham. I've made promises to your forefathers. I've made promises to your nation. I've made many promises, and I will fulfill them, every one. And God's mercy is based upon his promises that he will fulfill for all those to whom they apply. Now, I've kept saying over and over again that the way you qualify for these promises of mercy is to take the sinner's place. Because God has promised mercy to sinners. He has promised mercy to those who recognize their need of grace. So the mercy of God is, number one, undeserved, number two, based upon God's character, number three, based upon God's promises, and number four, appropriated by faith. How do I get in on this? By believing the promises of God. How do I receive his mercy? By extending the hand, the feeble hand of faith, and receiving what God has extended by his mercy. Those who receive God's word receive mercy. Those who reject God's word receive wrath. There it is. Position yourself accordingly. Those who receive God's word receive mercy. Those who reject his word receive wrath. Now, I know some that say, well, I'm not prepared to receive his word, but I'll take his mercy. He's a God of love, and I'll count on that. No, it won't come to you that way. Those who receive his word receive mercy. Those who reject his word receive wrath. Therefore, you need to receive his word. You need to believe his promises. You need to place your faith in the person and work of Christ, the second messenger of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. The first messenger, John the Baptist, the second messenger, Jesus Christ, who is revealed here as Jehovah, who comes near to men, and in whom mercy and justice are both fully satisfied. And that's what brings them together. God is a God of judgment because he's a holy God. He's a just God, and our sins must be judged. God is a God of mercy because his nature is merciful. He is loving. He's kind. Where do you find that? Where do you see that? He gave us his Son. And in his Son, justice and mercy come together and are fully satisfied. So the question for you is judgment or mercy. Which one? Which do you prefer? Well, that's probably an unnecessary question. I'm sure everybody would prefer mercy. But which will you pursue? Will you pursue God's mercy and humility and repentance and faith, which will enable you to pursue it and receive it? Or will you continue a posture of pride and hardness of heart and love of your sins and refusing to forsake them, which will ensure that you will receive the judgment of God, which is fully and completely deserved? You'll get what you deserve. You don't want what you deserve. Oh, no. You want what you don't deserve, namely God's mercy, which is undeserved kindness. And so, therefore, fear God and embrace his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cleansing of your sins, for the salvation of your soul, for the deliverance that you need, and the only deliverance that's possible from the judgment that otherwise must come upon you because of your sins. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.